Good morning, everybody. It's 9:02. Let's go ahead and get started. Per usual, members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission have to complete a speaker request form. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes each and collective testimony to 15 minutes per side. Non-agenda public comments are heard at the beginning of each meeting, and those who wish to address the board about a specific topic not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker request form. Members of the public may also request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda, of which we don't have one today. To speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you're speaking in opposition, please fill out the pink-colored form, and in favor, please complete the gold-colored form. With that, let's move on to our single non-agenda public comment. Joy Sunyata. Good morning.
Good morning. Joy Sunyata, District 3. First of all, let me tell you, I wasn't going to speak this morning. So I am totally speaking, you know, in the moment. And so let's see, what do I want to say? I guess I want to say, for me and maybe not for all of you, it's sort of the beginning of a new year with the new fiscal year starting, I guess, on July 1st. So with summer and everything, and we're all out playing, right? Everybody played this summer, I hope. So I just want to come out of the gate wishing all of you the very best as we move into the fall season. And I, especially, of course, my focus these days is really just the housing crisis. I used to be interested in everything under the sun, but now I'm really focusing on our very serious, I don't know how many varies I could add to that for our housing crisis. And of course, that includes homelessness. So what do I say? I have really, really done the research on the housing crisis we face, both a little bit on a global level, a lot more on the national level, and quite a bit on the San Diego level. And we are all in this together. It's really, really a challenge. So it's not just San Diego with our beautiful weather, and this is the place everybody in the world wants to live. It's more than that. And I'm really stuck. I don't want to call it a wall, but I'm stuck because I'm not able to integrate everything that I took in and find an answer that I might suggest to all of you. So I'm just going to, I guess, say this, that we are in this together. Please let me know when I'm done because I will not know. Okay, we are all in this together, so let's collaborate, let's work together, and just be kind to one another, and we can get it done. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. We'll move on to commissioner comments. Do we have any? No? The report by the president and CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to the board. I've got three very brief items for you today, just accomplishments or occurrences since the last board meeting. We were fortunate on August the 22nd to be visited by the current Assistant Secretary of Public and Indian Housing and with HUD in Washington, D.C., a fellow named Hunter Kurtz. He visited with us, looked into our Move into Work program along with some of the staff who were also here this month. He visited our Hotel Churchill and San Diego Square properties right out the window here to the west. And Assistant Secretary Kurtz is very interested in expanding the kinds of programs we've done nationally. So we can expect to be more of a guinea pig perhaps going forward in some of the things we've done under a Move into Work program than we have in the past. Also, there are two honors that two of our departments have been notified about since the last board meeting. I want to share those with you. The first is to the Housing Commission's Procurement Department. They have received a, quote, Achievement of Excellence in Procurement Award, and this is for the third consecutive year from the National Procurement Institute Incorporated. And this kind of an award honors organizations that demonstrate excellence by obtaining a high score based on criteria that measure innovation, professionalism, productivity, e-procurement, and leadership. And again, procurement is one of those parts of our team that doesn't always get noticed, but they are essential to what we do, and this is a good indication of their professional level. And I'd like to offer my congratulations and thank yous to Deborah Fischel-Falk and her team in the procurement department. Excellent work, folks. Also, the Housing Commission's Financial Services Department, for the 11th consecutive year, has received the highest recommendation given by the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada. And this award is a certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting for our fiscal year 2018 comprehensive annual financial report. Also, for the 9th year in a row, the Financial Services Department has also received an award for outstanding achievement in popular annual financial reporting from the Government Finance Officers Association as well. And even for a non-finance top like me, that's pretty exciting stuff. My congratulations there to Tracy McDermott and the Financial Services Department. Again, well done. I wanted to share those two achievements by those two departments of the Housing Commission to the board. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I think I can speak for all the commissioners and say congratulations to all the award recipients. The work you do does not go unnoticed. Now we'll take up the minutes from the July 18th meeting. Do we have a motion to approve? Thank you. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 100, the appointments to the San Diego Housing Commission Strategic Plan Committee. We've opted to refresh our strategic plan, and we, in doing so, have identified myself, Vice Chair Klumpner, and Commissioner Hester to serve on the steering committee for that plan, so everyone stay tuned. Does that require action for the strategic plan appointments?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, do we have a motion to approve? Thank you, Commissioner Davis. Seconded by Commissioner Hubbard. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Okay. We'll go ahead and give ourselves, we're going to go ahead and go slightly out of order today. It has come to our attention that there are folks who would like to speak on non-agenda public comment, and while we tend to prefer to have those at the top of the meeting, in the interest of making sure that we are hearing everybody, we'll go ahead and take those comments now. I would hate to make them wait through additional presentations if they don't want to, although it is riveting stuff, Colin. Thank you. We're going to postpone you first if you don't mind. So we'll just go ahead and take a moment and wait for these folks to make their way up to the front. And we all wait with bated breath. You're free to talk amongst yourselves or anything. It's very quiet. Okay, everyone, forgive me for the whiplash. In the interest of keeping ourselves on time, we will be accommodating the public comment, but Colin, if you wouldn't mind, let's go ahead and get started with the Park Crest Apartments presentation, and we'll do the public comment in between this and the next item. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. The item before you today is a request to take the initial steps to issue multifamily housing revenue bonds for the acquisition and renovation of Park Crest Apartments. Staff requests that the Housing Commission recommend that the Housing Authority issue a bond inducement resolution for up to $38 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds, authorize an application and subsequent applications if necessary to SIDLAC, and approve the financing team of QTEC Rock as bond counsel and PFM as financial advisor. Additionally, the Housing Commission recommend that the City Council hold a Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, or TEFRA, public hearing, and adopt a resolution approving the issuance of up to $38 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds. The proposed project is an existing 140-unit development located at 4531 Logan Avenue in the Mountain View neighborhood of the southeastern San Diego Community Planning Area in Council District 9. This is an aerial view of the property. The existing development is composed of 12 two-story buildings totaling 112 two-bedroom and 27 three-bedroom, as well as one manager's unit. The following slides show various features of the development, including solar panels located on several buildings, on-site amenities such as the leasing center, community room with kitchen, and representative photos from a unit. Additional amenities for this affordable family property include on-site laundry, open parking, and the project's close proximity to the Willie Anderson Sports Complex just south of the property. To summarize the developer's requests, you are considering approval to take the preliminary steps to issue up to $38 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds. No loan funds from the Housing Commission are being requested for the project. Approval of the bond issuance and TEFRA resolution does not commit the Housing Authority to issue bonds. The bonds would not constitute a debt of the city, Housing Commission, or the Housing Authority. If bonds are ultimately issued, they will not nor will they financially obligate those entities. Because of the security for the repayment of the bonds will be limited to specific private revenue sources of the project. The developer of the project is Fairfield Residential, a local for-profit developer. They have developed 30 affordable housing properties since their formation in 1985. The property manager will be FF Properties LP, an affiliate of Fairfield Residential. The total development cost of the project is currently estimated to be approximately $48.5 million, which averages out to $346,000 per unit. Sources of funding include bonds, tax credit equity, a deferred developer fee, investor equity, and a developer contribution to the project. Units will be restricted at 50 to 60% of area median income for 55 years. Rents will range from $1,171 to $1,634 per month for the two- and three-bedroom units. Eligible households and individuals will have incomes ranging from $48,150 up to $64,200 based on the 2019 rent and income chart. This item will be brought back for final bond-related approvals in January of 2020. The developer expects to close financing in March of 2020 and complete renovations no later than September of 2021. Thank you. This concludes our presentation. A representative from the developer is here, and we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Do we have commissioner questions, comments? All right, I'll jump in. Is there any relocation? Doesn't look like that's going to be a part of this proposal. What about the existing residents on site?
Right. So the existing residents on site will be temporarily relocated, but it's not a perm relo. It's a quick renovation of the units.
Okay. Great. And the residents that are existing on site and who will be coming back then, are they qualified under the 50 to 60 AMI? So is it an existing affordable property?
Yes, it is an existing affordable property.
Okay. Do you know when the existing deed restriction would run out on that or expire?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but I get that for you.
Always curious just to know. I appreciate what the Housing Commission has been doing lately to really look at properties that will be losing their affordable restrictions and making sure that we are preserving them. We do know that that is a very good use of the funds that we're in charge of stewarding, so thank you. Final call for questions? Okay. Is there a motion? Moved by Commissioner Klempner, seconded by Commissioner Davis. All those in favor? All those opposed? Or any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, I believe we have our folks here for public comment. I'm going to call you two at a time. You'll have 3 minutes each to speak. It has come to my attention, though, that on these speaker slips, we would like a little bit of additional information. So on the way out, we'll have these back at the front. If you wouldn't mind adding a last name or some follow-up or some contact information so that we could follow up if desired, that would be very helpful. So thank you. Oh, thank you. We will start with Joe and Kathy. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I live at Olivewood Garden Apartments, and I've actually been there since December of this year. I came from a situation where I was going to homeless shelters for food, for showers, and I had a job, which they told me that I was going to get laid off from my job. And I actually opted to retire because they said I was going to get laid off, and I didn't want to take a chance at, I'd lose my pension. So I ended up opting out early, and my pension's not as big as what I anticipated. And it forced me to – I was homeless for a while. I was living in someone's backyard, and I was in a tough situation. Well, I went to this feed in Chula Vista, and they had the housing commission – was there, and they had a list of places for rental, and they told me they could help me out with this, and they had a place available with a listing of 33% of your income is taken for rent. When I moved in there, it was right at, basically it was at 33%, and I was under the impression that it was supposed to be a 33% income, and it turned out they wanted to raise my rent in September, and that easily exceeded the 33%. Now, I thought everything was going good. It was affordable housing, and that's what they told me. It was low-income affordable housing. Everything was going good. I had a hot shower. I had a roof under my head. Everything was going good, and now they're already raising my rent. And I need some answers as far as – I need a cap or something where they're going to keep it the way it is, because I'm not making any more money than what I'm making right now, and I'm already at the borderline right now. I've been homeless. I know how it is. I don't want to go backwards because I've already experienced that before. And I thought it was going to be peace of mind. Everything would be good. And it's not working out that way. So that's my story.
Kathy, and then we have, I believe it's Dinah and Harold.
Hi, my name is Kathy Blackstock. And to give you a little story before I got in there, I was homeless. A well-educated, middle-class, white woman. And because of some very serious health issues, I became homeless. And I was homeless when I was on the waiting list for this place, Olivewood Gardens Apartments. And at least it gave me hope, but I figured, oh, it's not going to happen. All the waiting lists are always so long, and I finally got it. I cried the first night, and I didn't think I'd ever do that. But that year and a half was pretty hard because before that, I had a traumatic brain injury, which took me a long time, and I'm still trying to deal with it. But I also was very sick and had MRSA in both my lungs and was put in medical-induced coma for almost a month. And so that put its toll on me. But now, and I've always had heart issues, now I'm in congestive heart failure. And I didn't think I would be dealing with this, and that it didn't seem like we should be a priority at all. I've looked, and there's programs for students that are at risk of being homeless. There's families and families transitioning and all of that. I didn't see one that was for seniors. And we've worked usually all our life, and maybe people don't understand how we became and got to where we are. But sometimes it's very humbling. I never expected to be where I am, but I didn't expect that would make any difference. And my monthly income is $931.72. I don't know if that rings a bell with anybody. It's SSI. My rent is $825. So mine's not 30%. It never was. It's about 90%. So I don't have TV. I go to pantries for food. And I just can't have any extras. I usually, and I don't have any extra money now, usually after paying the gas and electric and whatever little incidentals I might need, shampoo or something like that, I'm out by the fourth or fifth of the month. But I also...
What final closing sentence?
Yes, I'm sorry. I want to... I'm confused at how they were able to get their contract renewed, because none of us can do that. We don't qualify for the 60% AMI. So did you all know that going into it, that we were all going to be out?
I'm sorry. Time is up. Dinah and Harold?
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dinah Pipkins. I'm speaking today from the heart. I did not live a selfish life. I worked from the heart. I was a mom and a foster mom. I had to pick up crack babies that were sold so the mothers could get crack. And many times when you pick up children, as you know, in foster care, the money does not come with them. I did not tell them, oh, your money's not here, so I can't take care of you. I gave those children dignity. And I gave them love. I worked for Head Start most of my life. And in Head Start, those are the poorest children. Those are the poorest parents. And our vision was to make the families better than when they came to us. And I worked hard to make that vision for each child and parent to come true. As you know, I did not have the money set aside for my retirement. I came to Olivewood Garden, affordable housing for seniors and disabled, thinking that I was safe. I no longer feel safe. I feel at this time, seniors are being displaced and are experiencing homelessness. And as a foster mother, a proud mother, a grandmother, and a teacher, I'm asking you to look into your heart and think about the seniors of Olivewood Garden. Thank you.
Thank you. Harold? And following Harold will be Ethel and Kim. Oh, okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Homer Howard. And I'm just... Actually, I'm fed up. Everybody that's in Olivewood Garden is on a fixed income. And they're talking about... monies that we should have. I'm nowhere near the ceiling that they're given. I can't work because I'm disabled. Now, I need help. It's just simple as that. I'm like everybody else here. We all got our sob story. Ain't no different from me. But the thing that pisses me off is I don't have no dignity. No, I have no honor. I just have to sit up here and take whatever they're going to do or whatever you guys decide. And when I look for help from you guys from housing, I'm on the list and I'm waiting 5 years. But in the meantime, I've got to see about changing my whole lifestyle. You know, we ought to give up anything that's going to make us comfortable. And just like she said, I don't work all my life. I never have asked for anything. But this, like she said, I thought we'd be in a safe place with seniors, but they're telling us that, no, you're not. So, and I'm not in bad shape as some of the people, because I scrape by, I just have to give up a lot of things. And I don't deserve that. You know, you guys are the housing authority. What can y'all do to help me? What can I do to help myself? And it's just, this is crazy. It's just ludicrous, truthfully. Because when you go up on my rent, $125, after you done went up $25, and in 3 month period, it's another $125, you just took away some of everything for my life. And I'm sitting in this situation where when they go up again, what am I going to do? Because I'm not going to be able to afford it. And talking about getting out here and looking for an apartment for seniors, there's none. So what can y'all do to help me? What systems do you have in place to help me now? I understand we got the bill and everything else. That's great. That's wonderful. But I'm talking about now, the reality for me right now. And it seems like everyone we try to talk to is like, talk to them, talk to them, talk to them. But I don't have anyone that's saying, all right, we can help you. This is what we can do for you. And I'd like to know, what can you guys do for me, for us? And like I say, I'm not as bad as some of the other ones. But I like to have a little dignity at the end of my life, just like we all would. That's just common sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Ethel, followed by Kim.
Hello. My name is Ethel Swenson. I live at the Olivewood Gardens Senior Disabled Apartments. I've been living there now for 6 years. When I first moved there, the reason I moved there because it was considered affordable housing, low income. At the time I was working and my income fell within that guideline, so it all worked out really well. Well, from that time, I work as a caregiver. I was hurt on the job, so I had to go off on workman's comp. I had to have a hip replacement. From that, I went on temporary disability because I wasn't able to work. Well, once that played out, I had to go ahead and retire. I happened to be 62, so that helped me. But I had to retire at the lowest amount that you get going out through a state retirement. So from that, my rent still accommodated. I was still able to suffice with that. Plus, I was able to get little jobs as a caregiver here or there, do some child care. Since that time, the position as a caregiver, I lost my client, which means the only income I have is a Social Security. So at the rate that my rent was before this big hike, it was okay. I was going to leave, but it was okay. But now, it's like if they go up to what they want, that's like a $275 rent price rate hike that I'm like, no way can I do this. I am signed up for Section 8 housing. I've been on the list now for 7 years. So I note in this complex they have like other people who are there on Section 8. So my question is it possible that we can all of us that are falling under this situation, can we all be put in for Section 8 housing or low income housing or according to your income? Because we are all in a situation being on fixed incomes that it's just impossible for us to compete with the rent that they want to charge us now. We've tried to notify the owners of the property. They are avoiding us. They're not wanting to talk to us. We've tried every way that we can to try to get with the people to talk, and they're not hearing us. They're saying that they're within their rights, they can do this. And we're like, well, what about us? What are our rights? What can we do? We're in a home, we're in housing, so you're saying either you pay the rent or you have to go, so we'll be homeless. And I thought the whole idea is to not make people homeless, but to help them to have a home. So that's why I'm here today, just seeking help from you all to see, is it possible that we can all get signed up for Section 8 so we'll be able to afford our rents, or can we make this a low income or according to income complex. So this is what I'm here to request. So thank you all.
Thank you. Kim?
Hello, everyone. My name is Kimberly Simpson. And like everybody else, I have a sob story. But I won't get into that. I'll talk to about us as a complex. Since this has happened, I have listened to my neighbors, and even though I'm a senior, I'm one of the youngest ones there, and I'm 60 years old. So I'm one of the youngest ones there, so I kind of protect and help out everybody in the community. And since this has happened, I have heard everybody say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to eat. I don't know how I'm going to live. And I, too, have financial problems. But with all that being said, we have been doing things necessary to try to speak to the landlord and everything, the owners, finding out who the owners are. The thing that baffled me the most, we actually got a message, a voicemail from one of the higher-ups telling us that the Housing Commission approved this rent increase. And we was doing a demonstration, and some of us, there was a sign that said the Housing Commission is displacing people. So we thought about it, we say, hold up. Because we don't want to put something out there that's not accurate. So I said, I'll call the Housing Commission and see if these people, if the landlord, if Olive Wood Garden is in compliance with what they're supposed to be doing. Well, while talking to a lady at the Housing Commission, and I won't put her on blast, but while talking to her, she said, yes, I am aware. We did give them permission to raise the rent up. I said, did you realize that everybody over here is not on Section 8? And her answer was yes. I said, well, do you realize that some people's rent have went up by $300 and $400 in a month? We're talking about a place where people have been living there for 32 years, and they haven't raised the rent in 6 and 7 years. And all of a sudden, they raised the rent. And people's rent have went up $300 to $500, $300 to $475. So I asked this lady, I got to talking to the lady at the Housing Commission about this. And her answer to me was, you're lucky you're not paying $1,229. And she's right. But if we're out here protesting that we can't afford to pay $900, the last thing I want to hear is somebody telling me to be grateful that I'm not paying $1,229. And I should be grateful because I know the rent in San Diego is high. But at the same time, come on, y'all. My understanding is that the Housing Commission helps the tenants who can't help themselves, that the program was put in place to help those of us who need help. Not to end up feeling like after working most of my life that I have to humble myself to somebody telling me, basically, get off.
Thank you.
Yes.
One final closing sentence, if you'd like.
I would like to know, and I've been on it for 10 years. Is there any way that we could get help and be grandfathered into the Housing Commission program?
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Next, we'll hear from Bonnie and then Becky.
Good morning. My name's Bonnie Breckenridge. I'm also a resident at Olive Wood Gardens. I've been there for 7 years. Where they did not raise my rent for that 7 years until February when they raised it $25, and I was $25 a month, and I could deal with that. Then in July, we got a notice that it was going up to $900, and I went into shock. Since that time, I've had nightmares. My blood pressure is up. I felt ill, and we were working so hard to help ourselves and our neighbors right now that we're all on the verge of collapse from exhaustion. There doesn't seem to be any protections for people like us. We're on fixed incomes where you get a 2% raise every year, and my rent was raised by 50%. And my neighbors are, you know, I can handle the $8.25, but if they go to $12.25, I'm gone. I'm 68 years old. I had to retire from the job I was doing because the physical labor was so hard and heavy. I was hurting myself and in putting other people in danger. So I had to retire. I can't go back to my profession. So, and when we did that call, and we were told pretty much, well, too bad for you. Is that what the commission is, housing commission is about? You seem to state that you want to, the best way to keep the homeless population down is to keep people in their homes. But we seem to have no redress from any agency to help us in this fight. These are good people. We've worked all our lives. We've raised children. We have grandchildren. Some are veterans who are very ill. You're going to put those people out of their homes? Let these people do that? How can you help us? Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I believe it was Becky. And then our final speaker will be Dinah.
Good morning. My name is Becky. I thank you for this opportunity. I'm 69 years old, and I've been at Olivewood Gardens for 8 years. My rent's gone up $325 in the last 8 months. I gave 48 years to Sharp Healthcare, and 3 years ago, Olivewood Gardens decided that they were going to lower the allowable amount to live there. So I made a decision to retire so that I could keep my home. So now they've decided to raise the amount and the rent, and I'm at risk of being homeless. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be homeless. I've lived in San Diego my entire life. I was born at what used to be called County Hospital, and is now UCSD. I've been a contributing member of this city. I raised two beautiful, wonderful children by myself. I never had to ask for help from any of the agencies, but I'm asking for it now. Because I don't want to lose my home, and I want to feel secure and safe at 69 years old. I'm an animal advocate, and I feel like sometimes they get more consideration than we do as seniors. So I'm asking you, please, please reconsider and review this request from Olivewood Gardens for this rent increase, since they led me to believe I was in a low-income senior housing that would accommodate me to retire. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. And this may be a duplicate, but is there a final speaker, Dinah? Or no? Okay. Okay. Great. So we had a double. If, as we mentioned before, in the interest of making sure that follow-up is possible, could you please add some additional clarifying information to the speaker forms? A first name is not going to help us make sure that we've got the right folks. I do thank all of you for finding the time and willingness to come talk to us so candidly. It is not commission protocol to take action on non-agenda public comment. However, we do, I believe that the fellow commissioners would agree with me that we would like to refer this to staff. I can't speak to any of the legality behind this or any of that, but would you? And I'm told that we will respond to everybody. I don't believe that there will be time that it's, I don't believe that this waiting for the next commission meeting would be appropriate, in that this is probably going to need to be resolved much faster than that. So I'll ask that staff communicate with the commissioners and what the resolution does look like and how we plan to move forward. Thank you. So next week we'll have that and possibly a follow-up item next month, just as an informational item on some of these issues, if the commission feels like that's necessary. But we'll stay in contact on what that is. But again, thank you very much for being here. I do appreciate it. I know it's tough to be so candid and so vulnerable, especially in a public room with only a few cameras. But you were heard. Thank you. Are there any other commissioner comments before we move on? No. Any comments from staff? No. Okay. So we will resume the agenda, and that would put us at item 102, the loan modification and preliminary bond authorization for Grant Heights Apartment and Winona Apartments. I believe Mr. Correa.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
This item is Grant Heights Apartments and Winona Apartments, loan modification and preliminary bond authorization. The recommendations are authorizing the Housing Commission's President and CEO to take certain actions. First recommendation. You want to do this? Okay, there we go. First recommendation is for Grant Heights Apartments to approve the proposed ownership transfer from the current owner-borrower to a new to-be-formed limited partnership. Execute necessary documents to effectuate the transfer, adjust financing terms and conditions necessary, approve the to-be-formed limited partnership assumption of the existing residual receipts loan owed to the Housing Commission, along with the proposed 50% pay down of the outstanding loan amount at escrow closing bond issuance. Second recommendation for Winona Apartments, approve the proposed ownership transfer from the current owner to the new to-be-formed limited partnership, execute necessary documents to effectuate the transfer, adjust financing in terms of consistency as necessary. Third recommendation, approve combining Grant Heights and Winona into one project. I think this is out of sequence. Okay, sorry. Well, it's going backwards. Let me try it one more time. Yeah. All right, sorry. Approve combining Grant Heights and Winona into one project. Fourth recommendation, authorizing the President and CEO to take actions if necessary, convenient, or appropriate to implement the approvals. And these actions are all contingent on the co-developers receiving all necessary third-party approvals. Fifth recommendation, that the Housing Authority approve initial steps to issue up to $9 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds, including issuing a standard bond issue inducement resolution authorizing a bond allocation application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approving a bond counsel and a financial advisor, and authorizing the President and CEO to execute various documents and perform various acts if necessary. Next recommendation, that we request the City Council hold an IRS-required Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing, and these, of course, are all preliminary bond issuance steps for 4% bonds. At a later date, we will return to you for your consideration of a decision on whether to have final approval of the bonds. Describing the developments, the Grant Heights is a 28 existing units at 2651 J Street, built at 73. Winona is 14 existing units at 3845 Winona, built in 1986. The two properties are located approximately 5 miles apart. They are a mix of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units. It is proposed to combine the two apartment complexes into a single 42-units project, which is to be rehabilitated. Now, why are they doing this? Basically, they're combining the two properties to promote economies of scale and mitigate the impact of issuing costs that are inherent when a developer seeks bond issues and tax credit allocations. So as a brief background, in 2002, the Housing Commission provided an $867,000 residual receipts loan to an Urban League affiliate to rehab Grant Heights. That loan is still outstanding. In 1997, the Housing Commission provided a $181,000 residual receipts loan for rehab of Winona. That loan was fully paid off, but the original affordability restrictions on Winona remain. Development details are in the report, Table 1, Page 3. The co-developers are Urban League of San Diego County and San Diego Community Housing Corporation. They are both experienced nonprofit developers. And there's a development team summary in your report at page 6. The co-developers are proposing having the ownership of both properties combined in one project to be owned by a to-be-formed limited partnership. They're also proposing to have the Housing Commission allow the to-be-formed partnership to assume the Housing Commission's Grant Heights existing loan with a 50% pay down on the loan's balance at escrow closing. Also, they're proposing having the Housing Authority apply for new issuance up to $9 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds. Also, they're proposing to have an application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee for bond issuance, plus a 4% tax credits application to the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee. And they're proposing, of course, to complete rehabilitation of both properties. This is a location map. You can see, let me see if I can point this clicker. That's Winona up in the right-hand corner. That is Grand Heights down in the left-hand corner. They're about 5 miles apart as the crow flies. Estimated sources and uses are summarized in Table 3, Page 6 of the report. The sources are funded by a combination of various items. Total development cost is estimated at $16,938,294, $403,293 per unit. An important point is that there is no Housing Commission new cash loan funds proposed. And prevailing wage rates are not applicable. There's no federal or state funding. No permanent relocation. They will have temporary relocation of tenants, but work is taking place in their units. We have a summary of key performance indicators at page 7, table 4, and a summary of comparable development projects at page 7 to 8, table 5. Affordability will range from 45% to 50% of area median income, and it will remain affordable for the next 55 years. This is an addition of approximately 18 to 23 years beyond the current terms of affordability. In other words, for Grand Heights, we're extending the affordability from 2057 to 2075, and for Winona from 2052 to 2075. We summarize the affordability at Table 6, Page 9 of the report. So 18 to 23 additional years of affordability, depending on which project you're talking about. Timeline. If you approve today's proposal, then the Housing Authority would consider this on October 1. And if they approve it, we anticipate applications to CIDLAC and TCAC on October 11th. And we anticipate CIDLAC and TCAC approval meetings, if all goes well, on December 11th. If the developer is successful obtaining third-party funding sources, then we estimate final bond issuance consideration at your meetings in January of 2020 and the Housing Authority meeting, depending on when they're scheduled. We don't have them scheduled yet for January of 2020. Estimated construction completion would be June of 2020. That is aggressive, but that is what they're proposing. Just a summary of the bond issuance. The proposed Housing Authority issuance was $9 million of tax and bonds. The developer is responsible for paying all costs under bond financing. The bonds do not financially obligate the city, nor the Housing Commission, nor the Housing Authority, and neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city, nor the full faith and credit of the Housing Authority is pledged to repayment of bonds. The payment comes from the project itself. Here's a photo of Winona, and a photo of Grand Heights. With us today and available for questions are representatives of the co-developers, so let me throw it open for questions.
Okay, Commissioner, questions? All right. I can understand the efficiency of combining the two. Am I correct in assuming that that is not a typical approach to one of our deals?
This is not typical in the sense that this is what we consider a scattered site project. And just for the finance, as Joe mentioned, more for the financing to work out, you need about 40 units. And so combining these two properties gets to that threshold number to get those economies of scale that we mentioned.
Thank you. Any other? Commissioner Klotner, Vice Chair.
So these are 45 and 50% AMI, which is great. Is there any change to the AMI going forward versus what the existing properties are restricted at?
Sorry. I think I have on the table 7 on page 9 a current and proposed terms of affordability restrictions. You can see there are current restricted rents on Grand Heights are 45 to 50%, and basically that's what they're proposed going forward. On Winona, Winona, they would also be in the, some at 60, one at 60.
Yes, to answer your question, we have units at 45 and 50% were part of the original structure. By combining the two properties into one partnership, we'll have units at 45 up to 60% of AMI. 60% of AMI is the max allowed by TCAC.
Now, the main advantage, of course, is you're getting a pay down on your loan and you're getting extended affordability.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions or a motion? Okay, moved by Commissioner Hubbard, seconded by Commissioner Davis. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. And next up, the preliminary bond authorization for Mission Terrace Apartments. Same dynamic duo, right?
Okay, good morning again. This item is Mission Terrace Apartments preliminary bond authorization. The recommendations are first authorizing the Housing Commission's President and CEO to first approve a proposed ownership transfer from the current limited partnership borrower to a new tax credit limited partnership formed by the developer San Diego Interfaith Housing Federation Foundation. Also to execute necessary documents to effectuate the transfer, adjust terms and conditions as necessary, implement the developer's proposed payoff, complete payoff, of the Mission Terrace existing residual receipts loan that is currently owed to the Housing Commission, and to take such actions as are convenient, necessary, appropriate to implement these approvals with the advice of the General Counsel. Second recommendation, that the Housing Authority approve initial steps to issue up to $12 million in tax credit family housing revenue bonds, including, as we typically do with all of our bond issues, issue a bond inducement resolution, authorize a bond allocation application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approve a bond counsel and financial advisor as our financing team, authorize the President and CEO to execute various Associated Housing Authority documents and perform necessary, convenient, and appropriate acts. Third recommendation, that we request the City Council hold an IRS-required Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing. This is a typical step whenever we're going forward with preliminary steps for 4% bond issuance. And these are preliminary issuance steps. At a later date, if they get their other financing in place, we return to you for your decision on whether we should have a final bonds approval. Okay. The development. This is number 5. Okay. Mission Terrace is a proposed acquisition with rehabilitation of 76 affordable apartment units. They are existing. The project is located 10210 San Diego Mission Road. That's located just east of San Diego SDCCU Stadium, what used to be Qualcomm, on the other side, the east side of Highway 15 on a bluff. Built in 1995, development details are Table 1, page 3 of the report. The developer is the San Diego Unified Housing Foundation. They were created as a group of churches that came together to do some good development work. They were the original developer of Mission Terrace, and I think I worked with them on this originally. They're an experienced nonprofit developer, and there's a development team summary in Table 2, page 5 of the report. In 1994, the Housing Authority approved a $2,055,000 residual use loan to San Diego Interfaith for new construction of this development. So that was the original building of this, was in 1994. The developer is proposing to pay off the entire existing Housing Commission loan, which we estimate approximately $3.4 million, as part of a new acquisition and rehabilitation of the development. The proposal requests an ownership transfer from the current limited partnership owner to a new tax credit limited partnership. The loan payoff will not eliminate the existing original 55-year affordability restrictions under the Housing Commission's original loan. And that's typical. The affordability restrictions run with the land. So if you pay off the loan, the affordability restrictions continue. The new limited partnership will assume the Housing Commission's original loan for affordability restrictions on 76 units, and the proposed new tax credits will extend those affordability restrictions from the current 2049 to 2075. So we'd be getting an additional 26 years of affordability. So we're getting 26 years of affordability beyond what we have now, plus they're paying off the entire amount of their loan. The proposal requests new issuance of $12 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds and proposing applications to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee and for tax credit application to the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee. This is a location map. You can see that it's right next to the Highway 15, north of just north of the stadium. Estimated sources and uses are summarized in Table 3, page 5 of the report. Funded by a combination of various sources, total development cost is $20,937,214. That's $206,573 per unit. And again, an important point on both of these projects, no Housing Commission new cash loan funds are proposed. So they're not asking you to put more money into the deal. They're, in fact, paying you off what you had always owed you before. Prevailing wage rates are not applicable, no state or federal money in it. No permanent relocation. Temporary relocation of the tenants takes place while the developer is working on their unit. Summary at Table 4, key performance indicators at page 6. Table 5 is comparable development projects at page 6 also. Affordability will range from 35% to 60% of area median income. Will remain affordable 55 years from our closing. This is an additional approximately 26 years beyond the current term of affordability. Affordability is summarized in Table 6, page 78 of the report. And the timeline, if you approve today's proposal, we would go to the Housing Authority on October 1, just as we did with the other project. We would have an application sent back in TK October 11, anticipate meetings approved by TCAC and CIDLAC December 11th, and if the developer can obtain third-party funding sources, then we estimate coming back to you in January of next year or whenever you hold their first meeting, and have you consider whether to have a final approval of the bond issuance. Estimated closing would be January, estimated construction completion January of 2021, so about a year to complete this. As I summarized the last time for the other project, it's the exact same thing, except the bond issuance amount is different, up to $12 million, but the developer is responsible for paying all the costs of the bond financing. The bonds don't obligate the city, the Housing Commission, the Housing Authority, and neither the full faith and credit nor the tax power of the city, nor full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to paying the bonds. I I have a photo. You know, there we go. That's a photo of Ms. Duras. With us today for questions, I think, is a representative of San Diego Interfaith. And let me turn it over to you and ask if you have any questions.
Do we have any questions? Commissioner, comments? No. You have been very busy. I do want to thank staff for this, but do we have a motion? Moved by Commissioner Davis. Second by Commissioner Hester. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. But before he goes, I just want to give a call out to Mr. Miyahara, who came back to visit. It's good to see you. Go ahead, Mr. Gentry.
Just to reiterate something the chair said before, the first of these three proposals to you all, these are all preservation deals and a good indication of what we're trying to do to preserve what we've got already in the city. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we are going to be postponing the strategic plan workshop as well as the Affordable Housing Trust Fund info item, which maybe I was ahead of myself on, to the October meeting. So thank you, Commissioners, for understanding. And we do have closed session, so now we will adjourn and move on to closed session.